It is time for sports here on Robin Hood Radio, and we're going to start the sports off with this.
He comes home. Runners go. Swing and a drive. Deep left field. It's a grand slam. Mookie Betts, his fourth career grand slam.
Now, here's what's interesting about that grand slam, and I don't know if Mike saw it last night or not. Mookie Betts, with the bases loaded, forced the pitcher to throw 13 pitches before he hit that home run. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Yeah, 13 pitches before he hit that grand slam.
Wow, 13 pitches. That's like a complete outing for a pitcher nowadays.
And how frustrated must the pitcher get finally saying, you know what, I'm just going to put my best up there and see what happens?
Well, that's what it should come down to. Yeah. Your best against his best. See who wins. That's what it comes down to. And clearly, Mookie Betts won.
Yeah, I mean, 13 pitches. I saw the grand slam when I woke up this morning, but I didn't see the story behind it. And also, Mike, I'm not a baseball player, but I would think speaking as a batter, to stay in there and go through 13 pitches, you know, that's mentally struggling on the batter as well.
The deeper it goes, the advantage goes to the batter.
Yeah.
Because sooner or later, the pitcher's going to make a fat pitch. I mean, I know it as a pitcher. When you got these guys that ran the full count to you and kept fouling pitches away and away and away, sooner or later, you're going to come with a fat one, and it all goes with who's going to make it. Is he going to miss it, or is he going to hit it? You're going to get away with it or not? And, you know, it evens out in the long run, but last night when you give up a grand slam, that hurts. So yeah, Boston got those four runs yesterday on that swing of the bat, and that was big because they won 6-4.
All right, now one thing I noticed yesterday: the Yankees beat Cleveland, and you know I've kind of hiding it all here, but really the three teams that are going to represent. One of the Houston Astros and Boston and the Yankees are by far above almost every other team in the league, except for maybe Seattle. They really
Cleveland's
are.
Got a real good lineup. They got real good starting pitching, but they have no bullpen. Their bullpen is the worst in baseball.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to make some moves to get themselves in position to make a run. If they don't, it's going to be tough for them, because last night you could see Kluber, who struggled early and settled down. He pitched real good baseball for several innings after he gave up a couple of those early homers, and then he just ran out of gas in the eighth inning on his, like, 115th pitch, which wasn't a lot. You should be able to throw more than 115 pitches, but in today's game, that's 2 days' worth of work. So instead of going to the bullpen, they left Kluber in there deep, and he got hit in the eighth inning, and that was the difference of the game, just because their bullpen is terrible.
And the Yankee bullpen, by and large, is a good bullpen.
It is. It definitely is. That's their strength.
Yep.
I mean, their lineup is streaky. Their pitching staff is based around one guy who probably had his worst outing of the year yesterday. He only lasted five innings, only had one strikeout, gave up nine hits, four runs, all of them earned. But their bullpen is their strength because they have depth. And they have competent pitchers in that position that can pitch that one inning. And that's their strength, and they played to their strength last night and got the win.
All right. Where else do you want to go in sports?
The Mets blew another one last night. Mets pitched decently, but came up on the short end of the stick against Washington. And to his credit, Familia in a meaningless position yesterday because they were losing. He pitched a good ninth inning, and with the lack of pen in Cleveland, don't be surprised if the Indians make a play for Familia here. As bad as he is, he's better than what they got.
Isn't that something? That's right. That's right. And a change of scenery, you never know.
I don't believe in that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't believe in a change in scenery. I mean, maybe a change in scenery when you go from a last-place team like the Mets to a contender might change it up a little bit. But even when the Mets were in contention in spots, Familia blew a lot of games. But like I said, he's probably better than what they got in Cleveland.
All right, the NFL news just keeps getting worse and worse. Remember what
who killed somebody now?
Did you remember at the beginning of the week there was a break in supposedly LeSean McCoy's house, home invasion?
Yeah.
His girlfriend now says she believes that was a possible setup, and police are investigating LeSean McCoy. It's just, you know, and on the same day, Kellen Winslow is going to face trial. His bail was set at $2 million. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse. I mean, the news out of the NFL is just absolutely horrible.
The NFL's a freak show. So let me try to understand something. Terrell Owens is being put in the Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But he's not going.
No, that's right.
Okay. What's the point of that?
If I were to...
That's the pinnacle of your career.
I'm 65, so I don't understand that. I just know that if you get in a Hall of Fame, and let's say the person that nominates you is the worst person in the world, I don't care. I'm going to be nominated to the Hall of Fame because that's an honor, and that's an honor that I've achieved for my work.
Not nominated. You're being put in it.
That's what I mean. So I would go. I would go. I could care less about any other, whatever else it is, I would go. Simply because.
He's not going because of who nominated him?
No, I don't know why he's not going. But there's not a good, unless he was physically unable to go. He was so sick that he couldn't go. To me, there's no reason not to go to some place that's honoring you for your lifetime achievement of work. It just.
The guy's an idiot. He always has been and he is.
Just doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me. So that's that news. You have any other sports?
Serena Williams made it to the finals, shockingly. Talking about a soft route, she's a victim of everybody getting beat. She didn't have to play anybody tough, and she just rolled right into the finals. So I don't know who she's playing in the finals. But that if anything is deceptive, it's her path to the finals in Wimbledon.
All right. Now, is there any racing this weekend for you?
Yeah, we got racing this weekend. Close by, too, Delaware. Delaware's got a couple of decent stakes. It's their big weekend with the Delaware Handicap, which is a race for older fillies and mares. Starting tomorrow in the seventh race at about 4:30. It's a 6-furlong sprint, $75,000 stake. The big names from New York are down there this weekend because this weekend's card at Belmont is a sham. Because nobody's running anybody any good because Saratoga opens up on Friday. So it's the time for the small barns in New York to fatten up this weekend. With that being said, the seventh race tomorrow, Delaware draws a field of 11. It's a very competitive field. And like I said, you got big names down there riding this weekend. The Ortiz brothers are there and Velasquez, and there you go. You have it that way. The two horses I'm looking at, actually three horses I'm looking at in this race. One is the one horse, Blue White Gold from Argentina. I think it's pronounced Blue E-Gold. There's a Spanish movement in there. This horse is coming off some decent numbers at Monmouth Park and Parks, albeit against optional claiming. This horse is in good form, and with Velasquez up, probably will get over bet. So he's a use, but there's really not going to be no value here with the jockey change in this race. The two horses I'm looking at, one is the 11 Always Sunshine, trade by E.T. Allard. This horse ran second in this race last year. He has two races off the shelf. This is his third race. He ran fourth in the True North at Belmont, which was a pretty good position for this horse. At 15-1 morning line, either that's a bad morning line or you're going to get a real good price on this horse. Delaware's a tricky track. It's kind of a horse for course track. This horse ran good over it as one time, and at the price with Pennington coming in to ride, he's a must-use. My top pick is the 9, Chubbalicious. This horse is a Jersey bred, but he runs everywhere. He got claimed last year and went down to Fairgrounds, ran very well at the Fairgrounds. He won the DeFrancis Memorial at Laurel last year. This horse takes his track with him, and he's a real hard-hitting horse for 7 years old, 11 wins for 27 starts. And he's going to be my top pick in this race. So the 9, Chubbalicious, is my top pick, with the 11, Always Sunshine, and the 1, Blue E Gold, underneath in Exactas. The next race is the 8th, a mile and an eighth on a turf. It's the Grade 3 Kent. 9 horses in the lineup for this race. some decent horses, some young horses in this race. You have the one horse, Carrick. He's undefeated on the turf. But Castellano doesn't come down for the ride for this horse. Velasquez rides him. Even though Velasquez is riding him, the reason that Castellano's not coming down is enough for me to kind of sway off this horse. So the horses I'm looking at in here, one is the two Hot Springs, trained by Steve Asmussen. Two for two on the turf last two times out at Churchill Downs. This horse is coming into this race in real fine shape. The four-horse Gunnison, trained by Kelly Rubley. Another horse won last two on the turf, one at Laurel, one at Monmouth, one at Small Stakes at Monmouth. Kelly Rubley won a nice race yesterday on the turf down in Delaware. And this horse is coming into this race in very fine form. And the nine-horse, trained by George Weaver, ran second in the Penn Mile. They put blinkers on this horse today. He got first-time Lasix last time out when he ran second at Penn Mile. Kendrick Karamouche comes down for this horse. Karamouche is probably the most underrated rider in New York, especially on a speed horse. When he gets on a speed horse, gets put in the front, he's able to dictate his own pace. He's very, very dangerous. So those are the three horses I like in the Delaware Kent. I'm going to go with the nine way early to put on top. So that's the nine way early, the two Hot Springs, and the four Gunnison in the Kent. And then the big race of the day, the 750,000 Delaware Handicap. This is for, like I said, older fillies and mares going the classic distance of a mile and a quarter. Nine line up for this race as well. Couple of horses I'm looking at in here, the five, the six, and the seven. Unbridled Mo trade by Todd Pletcher. This horse's best races came at Monmouth Park last year. He ran a decent race in the double dog. She ran a decent race in the double dog there at Keeneland. But this horse does not, to me, just seems a shot below the other two. Elate ran against the best fillies and mares last year and beat them quite handily. This horse is coming off the shelf for Billy Mott. Training well up at Saratoga, coming down to Delaware. And like I said, horse for course, this horse is one for one at Delaware. So Elate's going to be my top pick. And the horse that she's going to have to run down is the seven-horse Farrell. This horse has coming off two real nice races at Churchill Downs and the La Trienne and the Fleur de Lis. This horse is going to be on front for Hill as far as they go, and I think that this horse can give a good account of herself tomorrow. So I like the six Elate on top with the seven Farrell, and I'm going to throw another horse in here, Mopetism, trained by Doug O'Neill. Just wasn't on the top of her game in the Fleur de Lis at Churchill Downs, the same race that Farrell ran in. Expect this horse to give a little bit better account of herself in this race. So six Elate, seven Farrell, three Mopetism in the Delaware Handicap tomorrow afternoon at Delaware.
All right, Mike, have a great weekend. We'll speak to you on Monday.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Take care.